the life of Joseph, I'm sure the more we read it, the more we are encouraged and blessed. And so did I this week, reading again this chapter and stopping at verse 2 and verse 21, which is most of the meditation I have for you tonight. Verse 2 tells us in this chapter that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And verse 21 again, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And again, verse 23, the end of it, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The Lord was with Joseph. I take for granted that we have heard already about the story of Joseph and what happened to him when he was in his father's house. And I'm sure the children too have heard this story more than once. At this point, when we read the beginning of the chapter, when we read, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, this is already a dreadful picture, because what happened to Joseph was that he was hated by his brothers, that he was not only hated and spoken bad of, but he was actually sold to these Ishmaelites, and they sent him away, sold as a slave to these people. And these brethren spoke lies to his father and told him a beast of the field took Joseph. And for, as you know, as the story goes, for many, many years, they let their father to believe this dreadful lie. But here is what we are brought into reality. What Joseph is, in fact, brought into reality. And what is the first thing that I want to notice with you? It is Joseph's trials. He is already being given a lot of pain so far. He was thrown into this pit in the desert somewhere because these brethren hated him. And then not caring about Joseph's cry for mercy and help, they actually, instead of killing him, they thought good to sell him as a slave. And here he is. You are to imagine this poor young man that was just about 17 years old, sold as a slave and brought to Egypt by these Ishmaelites. So already, so far as here, you can't imagine him having this journey on a seat of a car that we have today, or nor by train, but obviously, perhaps even in a cage, after a long journey, arriving into Egypt, perhaps half naked, surely bound with his hands or feet and feet, he was brought to Egypt, and here he meet with an officer of Pharaoh, who obviously paid some money and took him into his house. Not a nice experience at all. Not what you and I would expect when we read, the Lord was with Joseph. I mean, of all that we can imagine, when we speak these words and we apply these words to our lives and we say and we ask the Lord to bless us, to be with us, nothing we expect of anything similar. And yet this is repeated not only once or twice, but three, four times in this chapter. The Lord was with Joseph. How on earth this can be? So he was refused by his very brethren. He was sold by those who were supposed to love him and to care for him, but they actually hated him. And here he is. I often wonder, what was Joseph praying? What was Joseph's thoughts? But the Lord was with Joseph. When he was in his father's house, and because of the dreams he had from the Lord, because he spoke the truth to his father and his brethren, they were mocking him, and they in fact planned to slay him. He didn't receive much good, showing what he always believed and what he trusted about the Lord. But one thing is sure that we are to grasp, that Joseph must have heard from his father about his grandfather and great-grandfather, about Abraham and Isaac, and all that the Lord has said and promised to them. Joseph surely remembered many of these things learned at his father's house. So it was in this dreadful situation that Joseph had only one hope and one thing to hold on, and this was the Lord God of Israel. Without not much time, Joseph is settling in Egypt. We are not told, but I wonder how many tears he shed. Notwithstanding, he is just making the most of what he is receiving. He is in this house as a slave, and he is obviously has to learn Egyptian, has to learn how to do a new job, and he is now in the house of his new master. Well, surely he has a master, but we can surely say that this Egyptian Potiphar was not his only master, for Joseph found grace in his sight, he served him, and he became an overseer over his house. Surely the attitude of Joseph was not of the one who was crying over himself and over the providence of God for himself, but he was determined to live by God's grace, whatever he had in front of him, being faithful, being a good Christian witness, as we may say today. He had an unfaithful master, in the sense that his master was not a Christian, surely. He was an Egyptian. He had many gods. He didn't know much of the God of Israel. But there is Joseph alone in this house, where surely the name of God was not highly regarded. And here is Joseph in this trial, living his own life with God alone. And the Lord was with Joseph. He may had good days and bad days. We don't know, we are not told how much he was conscious of this. But surely we can gather Joseph's faith was still bright and alive and burning in his heart. Joseph was determined to live a godly life in the place where he was placed. I don't see Joseph as a complainer, as someone that was waking up every morning and complaining and grudging with God and saying, why did you send me here? Why do I have to serve this evil master? But he did his job. He did it well. And he probably spoke about even the Lord God of Israel, his own master, which was greater than this Egyptian. Why do we know this? Well, we know this because not only of this trial that he had so far, which are quite a number of trials and quite heavy one. But even as you read through the chapter, the temptation that he receives from this wicked woman. And we have, even from the account that we have read, there is material enough to realize how this temptation came from Potiphar's wife. To this woman, Joseph declares his real faith. He shows to this woman that he fears his God, the God of Israel. Joseph stands firm before sin. He acknowledges his responsibility. He clearly speaks out his faithfulness. Notice what he said in verse 8. Behold, my master wot not that what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? There's Joseph. Faithfulness and faith in God and trust in him and fear of his God. It cannot be clearer than this. Joseph does believe that whatever he does is before God. And this sin will not be merely an adultery if it was committed. But he was sinning clearly against God. He wasn't sinning merely against his master, but he had his God clear before his eyes. And this is in contrast of the wickedness of this woman and how sin is working, in fact, in the heart and in the lives of those who are against God, those who have other gods, those who are not careful of any of God's commandments at all. Notice the attitude of this woman. Surely Joseph was giving hints and explanations about his God and his faith, but she was not only convinced of this, but she was determined in insisting, causing Joseph to sin, to go her way. It is dreadful to read how sin goes and how we read that she did this day by day. Verse 10. As she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. This gives a picture of a constant temptation for Joseph and a constant wicked attitude from this very woman. Joseph hearkened unto his God and not unto her. See, that's a great lesson for us all that teaches us what the New Testament, in fact, describes, that the Lord is not going to give us a greater temptation than what we can bear. And surely when we bring excuses or we think in our minds that something is too hard for us to escape or to not to sin, it is but a lie, because the Lord, if we trust Him, the Lord is with us. And if we are determined not to sin and to shun away from sin, we are able, by God's grace, to do this. Look at Joseph and how he reacted under this temptation. So his trials are not finished here, because not only he is hated by his brethren and given into a dreadful situation, but he's also attacked by the world and by sin itself, by the very hand of the enemy. he is tempted in many ways only in this chapter. And furthermore, he is in a situation where, because of his righteousness, because of his good standing before God, he is put into prison again. He is deceived by this woman. She kept lying, and his master doesn't take Joseph's side for a moment. By the way, this speaks volumes about the way sin works in people's life, and how this poor couple, as you look at Potiphar and his wife, how they are, in fact, a dreadful picture of what sin does in a marriage who is far away from God. Potiphar is even convinced by his very woman of Joseph's wickedness, Joseph's wicked acts, which he actually never did, never committed. And because of the deceitfulness of this woman, Potiphar sends Joseph into prison. It should have been the other way around. It would have been better to Potiphar to send away his woman, his wife, in a sense, because Joseph did but good in Potiphar's house. When Joseph entered in his house, we read that the Lord blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. That's an amazing testimony. That is what you and I would like to see in your own lives, in our own lives, in my own life, that because of the faithfulness to our God, because of our witness, because of our behavior, the others may know and see that God is with us. Surely, for Potiphar was clear. He didn't know the God of Israel, but one thing he knew, that this Joseph was a faithful man, trustworthy, a real godly man. So Joseph is now sent to prison, and again we don't see, we are never told at this point especially what Joseph may have said or reacted. Joseph had so many opportunities here to be asking himself, Lord, where are you? Why are all these things happening to me? I'll better forget my God. There's nothing good. Everything is against me. Why is all this happening? Why did I ever said or told these dreams to my brethren? Why did I ever have these dreams? Not at all. He is not crying and showing self-pity for a moment. He keeps his faithfulness. And this is obvious because, again, in prison, there you have the same Joseph. He was prosperous in Potiphar's house. He was faithful under the pressure and the evil acts of this woman, wicked woman, and he is still faithful and committed to the commandments of God in that prison, because notwithstanding he should not be there. Wherever he went, Joseph is demonstrating that his God is a real one, that he believes the Lord is with him. His faith is unwavering. And there we read again, quite surprisingly for us, that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. What a picture of a faithful man we have here, of someone who loved his Father in heaven. Although everything and everybody was against him, yet his Father in heaven did not forget him. He was condemned unjustly for having done anything wrong. But he's not depressed. He's not confused. He's looking at his Heavenly Father, and he knows that that is his God who rules all things. And that all things will in fact work for good, not only for his own life, for his own character, for his own growth in grace, but for his family and his brethren even more from many years from now, since now. And we all know the outcome of what will happen. In fact, through Joseph, his brethren and his very father will be joined to him, and he will be able one day to say, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Well, it is such a great picture, reading his life, about how the Lord Jesus was despised and suffered and did much more than Joseph did, because he had in mind, in fact, clearly, many people to save. The Lord Jesus himself bore the sufferings and the refusal and the unjust punishment on himself by God himself because of his willingness to save and his great mercy and love for those who will be his people. So if you are here tonight and you are first of all wondering why it's happening, something that is happening in your life, but never forget that Joseph had a worse scenario, and more than him, the Lord Jesus Christ had the worst one. Christ was surely spat upon in his face and crucified, not for any of his faults at all, but because he loved those for whom he died. May you be drawn by God himself to see that there is a God in heaven, that he cared for you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that by his work in your life, as you trust him, you will be given the grace that Joseph himself received to live all these trials and temptations by God's grace. May this be your experience too, as we live in this wicked world.